Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Friday, hanging out with you for the next 3 hours, covering everything NFL, college football, getting you set for the weekend. We'll have our Friday feels in about 20 minutes. College football plays later this hour. Next hour, we're going to go through all the big NFL games. Kelly in Vegas will join us final hour of the show, 2-minute drill, and we will wrap with our lightning bets like we do each and every day. Sam? We are on BetMGMNetwork.com, YouTube, Twitch, as always, 9 to noon Eastern time, bet_sweats on X. Last night, more competitive than I think anybody was expecting. I saw a lot of it, and I was receiving texts like, wait, what is going on here? Why is this game competitive? Because it was in the back of people's minds that, okay, this is going to be a blowout. But, you know, we were going over it yesterday. You know, history would suggest otherwise, and I know the final score says 10, and yes, the Dolphins did cover. They barely end up covering when it comes to the final score, but that final score, not indicative of how that game went at all, just until the very end. A few mistakes.
As somebody who bet the Dolphins in week 2, I was asking myself out loud, why? Why couldn't I get this Dolphins team against the Patriots? No. I get this team against the Bills when I didn't bet the Dolphins. We were both hinting, leaning towards taking the points with the Dolphins, but then when you wedge in how difficult it's been for these underdogs to keep games close, just stayed off it. Didn't have a single dollar on it. I heard you had a couple nice bets with our friends in Buffalo on WGR. I don't know who half the guys the Bills are throwing to are. I don't know, but that shows you how great they are and how deep they are. And then at the end of the day, I did in the many losers pool I'm in where I have to pick a loser every week, not a winner. It's reverse survivor. Put in Miami. And when the Bills kicked that field goal up 7 late in the fourth quarter, I'm thinking, oh, no. No, please, no. It's 4th and 5. There's less than a minute to go. You get the first down, the game's over. McDermott gambled. That's a gamble to kick that field goal because Prater had already missed one by 80 yards earlier in the game, which we have to discuss. The room coming in hot on Matt Prater's over on field goals. But you missed that kick. Now the Dolphins have the ball basically at midfield, and you're holding a Miami loser ticket. It was sweaty. And how about if you had the total last night? The game's under the whole way. Until the Bills kick a field goal up 7 to push it just over the total, 49-52. This total's 49-50, 50.5. You sweat it in Survivor. You sweat it on the total. And I know people were sweating props.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was on Kincaid. That was done in the first quarter. He got a touchdown. He was getting the looks. That's the only consistent thing I've seen from this Bills offense. Outside of James Cook, as far as the receivers go, you don't know who to trust. You don't know who it's going to be. And it's not on them. It's just Allen gets everybody involved. That's not a bad thing. It's just challenging for your prop bets if they're on an island game and you want to attack a Bills game. Be careful with these passing props. I don't know about you, Sam, but it's something I've noticed early on this year. Even the elite quarterbacks, they're not getting close to 250. Like Allen last night, they scored 31 points. He finishes with 213. It's been more James Cook over the last couple of weeks. Tua on the other side, like, okay, he's getting his top receivers involved, playmakers. It felt like a lot more than 146, but that's what he ended up with. 146 yards. So Kincaid cashed easily, and Shope and the Bulldog, we always appreciate them listening as well. A lot of listeners out in Buffalo, thanks to our appearances out there and those rabid Buffalo Bills fans. I was hearing from a lot of people about Kincaid, but Bulldog said it yesterday when I was on with him. You'll be on with him this afternoon. Jackson Hawes. He made a strong case going on and on. Jackson Hawes. I'm like, really? And as he's talking about it, I'm looking up. He's 15-1 for an anytime touchdown. And boy, did he get that look. I think it was the second touchdown of the game. First touchdown, 80-1 on him. I'm like, you got to play some Jackson Hawes. He was making that hard of a case at 15-1. But yeah, I mean, it's 21-21, late. Nobody's expecting to be there. The Dolphins force the Bills to punt. They're at midfield. Fourth quarter, 21-21. You're getting the ball back. The Siler, that dumbass, just roughs the punter. Like, what are you doing? Roughing the punter. A guy that's been doing this a long time, I think they said he's an eight-year veteran. Flip the game right there. That was it. Bills end up continuing the drive. They get a touchdown there. Goes 28-1. And then you had an awful Tua interception. It was ball game. But the game flipped right there on the dime. It's fourth down. You forced him out. You got him out. Fourth and seven. And it wasn't running into the punter. It was roughing the punter. And it should have been called. And there you go. The Bills end up winning. A lot of people had the Bills in Survivor. I was taking a look. Not as many as I was expected. Those Thursday games, it's going to be a little light. Some people shy away from it. You got a divisional matchup. But you do have the biggest point spread on the board. I did not use them in any of my Survivor pools. In 10 of them, did not use one entry on the Bills. And it wasn't because it was Thursday. It wasn't because it was a divisional matchup. It was just because the Bills are too valuable moving forward. They're going to be the biggest favorite on the board next week. They'll be the biggest favorite on the board in a couple of weeks. And many other times, they're going to be massive favorites. So we have other options this week. Point spreads around a touchdown that we like. Why force the Bills when we don't have to? So I ended up saving them, even though I used the Ravens a lot last week. They have a lot of future value as well, Sam. But we talked about the idea yesterday about McDaniel losing his job. They had fight. It shouldn't happen. I know they haven't won a game. The results are not pretty for Dolphins fans. But he's not getting fired anytime soon. It was also brought up because there's a bit of a layoff. They do not play now until next Monday night.
I can't wait to hear Kelly on the show today. Kelly in Vegas, who joins us every Friday.
She's insane.
10 minutes to go until submission last night. She's in a bunch of Survivor contests. And at the horn, basically 10 minutes to go, she decided to go full throttle, full send, Bill Survivor, and all of her entries. That's a sweat right there. That's a Thursday night sweat. And now somebody like Kelly, who did take Buffalo, and there are plenty of people that did it. Now you want chaos on Sunday. You want these upsets. You want Cleveland to win, Tennessee to win, New Orleans to win, either New York team, Giants or Jets. You want chaos. If you pick Buffalo, you want chaos. I've got a couple stats for you. Tua Tagovailoa, according to Evan Abrams, who everybody should be following if you gamble, at Evan H. Abrams. Tua is now 2-14 straight up away from home when he's facing a team that's above 500.
Yep.
That is the second worst quarterback over the last decade. The only one that's worse is Andy Dalton, 2-17-1. Tua, 2-14. Prescott, 7-15. Flacco, 4-12. He does not beat good teams. Does not. On the other side, let's give you this stat on Josh Allen from Sneaky Joe in Buffalo. Josh Allen, in his last 11 games, including the playoffs, 30 total touchdowns, one interception. 30-1. Unbelievable. And at the end of the day in the NFL, good teams find ways to win, bad teams find ways to lose. And that's what happened last night.
Yeah, that's a very fair way to put it. So there you have it. The Dolphins cover, it goes over, both very close. start of week three, they are right on it, man. They are right on that number. So there you go. A lot of props end up hitting with all those points scoring. But the passing yards, I would shy away from that a little bit. Just across the league, we're seeing so many top-notch quarterbacks right around 200 passing yards. And when you look at the number during the week, wow, Josh Allen's only 234. I would stay away right now until we start to see more consistent performance from some of these offense, unless you're talking about Cowboys Bears, because that game is expected to go bonkers, which means it'll probably be a very low scoring game. The Room last night, the Room. All right, we have it. The Room lost again. Yeah. I was thinking that the Room was actually going to have a winning night because we saw James Cook snap. He hits both of his props. The Room had two on James Cook, two different props, one rushing and receiving, both winners. So to have a losing night, they've got to go 0-3 on the others. The Room comes through, goes 0-3 on the non-James Cook props.
2-3 for the Room, but the juice kills. You lose a bet at minus 129, lose a bet at minus 125. Lose a bet at minus 135. So that's just the way it goes. You're juicing up and you're juicing out. So 2-3, but you lose 1.65 units because of the math. And the number one prop, as Paul was wrapping them out, Achane over on receiving yards. Okay. Catches seven balls. If I would have said he's going to catch seven passes, you'd think he'd probably get over. Mm-hmm. 7 for 29. Didn't get there. And we actually didn't hate the Cook look. We thought, all right, they're going to be up. They're going to run the ball. So we weren't like opposed to a Cook play. But here we go. Five more bets from the Room. They go 2-3. And because of the juice, the Prater one was the funniest one. Prater over 1.5 field goals made minus 135. And that first kick wasn't even in the atmosphere. Never had a chance to go in, and we got a tweet. The Room. Room strikes again. X is the best place during a live event. I love the Room follow-ups. People are always talking about the Room during the game, especially when things go anti-Room. But the tweet of the night was from an account that I follow, Chuck Bass, who tweeted, if Ollie Gordon scores an anytime touchdown, I will text my ex who is getting married on Saturday that I still love her. Ollie Gordon scored the first touchdown of the game.
Has he done a follow-up?
Yeah. His entire feed is follow-up. The initial tweet got 5.5 million views. And then he's asking ex, what do I do? How do I open? What do I say? He eventually texted his ex who's getting married this weekend. And he quickly found out the text wasn't delivered, which means that she had already blocked him. So it didn't get.
Oh, yes. So good. So good. Wait, do you believe that?
Yes, I do. 100%.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he was just kind of being like, hey, well, I tried, but it didn't go through. Oh, man. that's a best case scenario for him. Right? That's perfect. A little embarrassment online. Who cares? It's not real. So there you go. That's a fun follow-up. Another quick follow-up before we hit the break. Only 2 minutes of baseball all show. Let's knock it out. Mets win last night. Mets take care of the Padres 6-1. So that Diamondbacks World Series number that we talked about at 350-1 goes to 400-1. They didn't play, and they go from 350 to 400-1. The Mets in that wild card spot, the last wild card spot in the National League, it is a two-game lead. Cincinnati and Arizona, there are two games up on them. Crazy long shots. That's what you're going to get with a limited amount of games left. It will move 350 to 400.
The American League wild card on the other side is going to be chaos down the stretch. The Astros, Mariners, Red Sox and Guardians are all right there. We don't have a long way to go, but how about the Astros having a one-game lead on Boston and a 1.5 game lead on, is it Cleveland? Yeah, yeah. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading this wrong. Astros are up 1 on Boston, up a little bit more on Cleveland. But Houston, Seattle, Boston, Cleveland are all right there. You got 4 teams fighting for 3 spots. Don't know who it's going to be. Seattle keeps winning, man. 9-1 last 10. They win again last night. The Red Sox lose again. Now 5-5 last 10. So a lot of people around here, a lot of people where I live, starting to get nervous about the Sox not making it through.
And it's not just the spots. It's getting the bye. You don't want to play in that wild card round if you don't have to. If you can get to that 2 line, like, that's massive. So that's another fly in the ointment. Like, oh, man, I don't know. Are they going to get the bye? Are they going to, what are they going to have to deal with? We're going to have to set up pitching. We're probably going to have to push it until the last day of the season. Then you have that quick turnaround. Like, there's a lot of different factors there. Like, at what point do you say, okay, let's worry more about game 1 of the wild card round as opposed to trying to miss the wild card round entirely? So we'll see how it plays out, but it seems like a lot of that seeding is going to go down to the final day right now.
And the Rangers are definitely dead. They lost again. That's 4 straight. Yeah, totally. They're in the box, no doubt.
They suck. Damn. Kill that long parlay, multi-sport parlay that had going on. The Rangers were the next one in. It was Thunder. We had the Masters winner, and the Rangers were next, and that will kill it. Joe O, Sammy P, we won't kill Friday Feels. That's on the other side. This is Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday Feels, Joe O, Sammy P. If we did Monday Feels, it would have been like we were laying on the couch with the therapist, right? Just letting it all out, like crying through our losses from over the weekend, at least in the NFL. College football has been just fine. But it's not Monday Feels. It's Friday Feels. And I think we're good. Sam, can you confirm? Are you good? Like, I think it took a couple of days, but we're feeling all right heading into the weekend.
Once we get through Wednesday, I generally feel pretty good, even if I've had a god-awful weekend gambling the weekend before. Wednesday is the turning point for me. By Thursday, yeah, good to go. By Friday, Friday Fung, as Ozzie Guillen used to say on The Score in Chicago. Now, my Friday could certainly shift later tonight when I have money on Rutgers, +2.5, +3 at home against Iowa. But I feel good, and here's why. I feel Josh Allen is going to get Buffalo to a Super Bowl. This guy is just unbelievable. And I was texting with the boys in Buffalo last night, all of them. You know, I text with Bulldog, Shope, Zach, the producer, Sal Capaccio, who's like the Bills insider.
And you're after the Sal Capaccio.
Sal and I text all the time. What are you talking about? We always text.
Yeah.
So I text Sal after they complete a pass to a guy named Shravers, I think. And I text Sal, who are these guys? Who are these people that Josh Allen's completing passes to? And you know what Sal texts me? He sends Josh Allen with the handshake emoji.
Oh, no.
Magic Johnson. Valid point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get the ball to whoever's open and let them do their thing. I know that Baltimore is dangerous. And I believe Costos calls them the DVOA Kings or whatever. I mean, they're statistically sexy every year, but they never deliver.
Fair.
Baltimore with Lamar Jackson has never beaten Kansas City or Buffalo at a playoff game. And until I see it, I'm sorry, I don't believe it. But to watch Allen when the game is on the line, he becomes even bigger of a superhero. He was good in the game. I don't know that he was great. But in a tie game or Buffalo down three, down four, I just trust that guy. I trust him. I trust Joe Brady calling the plays, running the offense. I trust his ability to make the right play. And I told you when we got back from our final vacation of August, that makes it sound like we took multiple vacations in August. We did not. When I got back from my final vacation of the summer,
yeah,
I told you I'm betting Buffalo to win the Super Bowl and did it pretty well at 7-1 plus 725. Watching him against Baltimore and watching him last night when the Bills didn't even play close to an A game, but that punchy divisional team that's about to probably get put in the box is giving you the game of its season so far. And when the game is on the line, it's 21-21. He takes them down the field and they get in the end zone. That was the death blow. It was, because he is so good. When the pressure rises, when the moment needs to be met, he meets it. And I feel extremely good having money on that guy to take that team on a deep playoff run. That's how I feel this Friday morning.
That was a strong takeaway from last night. And maybe it's because I say that because I did the exact same thing. Like, this is their C minus D plus game. Like, Paul asked us earlier, did you ever really think the Dolphins were going to win that game? No, I wasn't betting them money line as a dog or anything like that. But I thought they very well could have, because the Bills were giving a C minus D plus effort. And they score 31 points in a game in which they do that. Right? Like, they scored 31 when it was just a blah game from them. It was nothing close to what they're what they can do. So I think that was another statement about what this Bills team is and when are they going to lose? Because they're going to be massive favorites coming up a couple weeks. They did not cover last night, of course, with that closing around 11. Throughout our show yesterday, it was 12 and a half, 13. Market was right. Market brought that down, and the dog ends up covering if you were in on Miami. My Friday feels. Dogs have not done well. They have not. And I told you where I stand as far as this weekend. Let me go back to what KIV was tweeting about, but with her survivor play, that she needs chaos, right? You said she's going to be rooting for chaos, and we'll talk to Kelly about that at 11 a.m. Eastern time, because she took the Bills in survivor. Anybody who took the Bills in survivor is now in that spot. I told you where I stand, and 10 toes down. I'm losing track of the segments here. 10 toes down, I said, this is it. Enough's enough. I've already talked about 4-plus favorites. They always win. They haven't lost this year. It's going to happen. It's going to happen a couple of times this weekend. So that would suggest that I do believe there will be some chaos this weekend. Do you think there will be?
I hope so.
I know you
don't
hope so.
Know.
Do you think there will be? No, I need to
probably
know 100%
not.
Friday feels. Damn it. Come on. We're going to hear that stupid trend again.
I don't think so. I was texting with a bookmaker last night. Can you tell I text a lot? I text so much. That's why my texts on my phone. My texts on my phone and my computer have to delete after 30 days because there are too many texts.
Oh, you
and then you
space, yeah.
You add in the group threads and the Bears group threads, and my computer would explode. Yeah. But I did write a story for Fox about, you know, these favorites that keep winning. And the response I got from one bookmaker who I adore, he said it'd be nice if one of them would just win. One of them. And he listed off the teams that I listed off beginning of our show. He needs one of them to just pull this off. Mm-hmm. And the money line parlays, I wrote the story Wednesday night into Thursday morning. By that point, by Wednesday night, he was already inundated with endless parlays, money line favorites, money line favorite, money line favorite, money line favorite. They're coming in, they're betting Green Bay to win, with Seattle to win, with the Chiefs to win. It's just, it's nonstop. And one of these dogs has to win. Do I think it's going to happen where all of them win or copious amounts of them win? Probably not. But if it does, it won't hurt me. I'm on the Browns. I have the Browns plus 8.5. If they win, if Flacco goes wacko, I'll be very happy. Then I'll be able to dance on some Packer fans too. Because, you know, they've already won the Super Bowl. It's already decided after Packers fans are already, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl and we're going to win. Okay, got it. After 2 weeks, got it. You asked the question, though. Do I think we're going to get multiple underdogs of 4 or more to win? No, I don't. I'm hopeful, but I don't. I would love for it to happen, Joe. You know that. I just know better.
Yeah. We've seen it. We've seen it for a long period of time. I started to think this morning, and maybe I just talked to too many people, maybe groupthink, whatever. Feels like the Browns are getting really trendy, man.
No, are they the trendy dog? That. No,
it feels.
I
was thinking it this morning, and then 35 minutes ago, the donkster gives out the Browns.
This happened to me week one. I was getting good numbers on the Giants. Yeah. 6.5, 6.5, 6.5. And then it got to 6. And then it got to 5.5. And then Paul opens up the room on Friday morning and goes, oh, the Giants are in the room. I'm like, damn it.
We're done.
We'll know for sure when we get to the room later today. We're going to do college and NFL. If the Browns are in the room, I'm getting off it ASAP. ASAP. I just don't believe that people are going to bet the Browns against the Packers. You really think so?
And say, just to cover, though. I mean, that's a lot. Where are we at? 8.5? I don't know about beat. I'm just hearing it a lot.
Well, I hear a bunch of Packers, so maybe that'll balance.
Okay.
Paul is maybe asking right now. Wrong. Paul's asking in the chat, pick two. Pick two. These, I'm guessing, to win. Yeah. Jets, Browns, Titans, Panthers. You got to pick two. You first.
Jets. I want to say Titans, but I'm going to go Panthers. Like, we've seen this too many times. Falcons love Sunday night football. Oh, they do have a good defense. Now they're favored by 5.5 in a divisional matchup. Okay, let's slow down there. Let's go Panthers, Jets. How about you?
I was really wondering about Tampa's offensive line yesterday, because they're already down Tristan Wirfs, their left tackle.
Yep.
Cody Mock is out for the season. And then yesterday they placed their right tackle Gadicke on injured reserve. So they're down three offensive linemen.
Isn't Baker hobbled too?
Yesterday I was with a former NFL player, not Jeff Schwartz. And I said, Baker's concussed. And he goes, Baker was born concussed. I said, okay, fair point. That would be the one. That's the place to start. And you started there with the Jets. I'll go Jets, and as high as I am on the Colts, can we take the Titans money line? Yeah, can we?
I want to get there so bad with it. We'll see if – why the hell not? I've done it the first 2 weeks. Those guys have screwed me over. All right. Another Friday feels that I wanted to bring up that I don't think we've talked enough about. So this trend of the NFL favorites of 4+, that's been talked about ad nauseum. We've addressed it as well. And we're sick of talking about it. What about the flip side? Tell me if you buy into any of this. Speaking of the Jets. No, that's at Tampa. So that would not qualify. My bad. Let's talk about some of these dogs in week 3. Okay, I saw a couple of these put out there by Odd Shark. I thought it was kind of interesting. 0-2 dogs. The number is 3.5 or more. In week 3, since 2010, 39-20 ATS. 0-2 record. They're getting more than a field goal. 39-20 ATS last 15 years. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. Yeah. Way over 60%. Knocking on 67. Here's another one. 0-2 teams are 40-17-1 ATS against 1-1 teams in week 3. since 2010. Last year, those teams went 5-2. I think it's a little wonky when you have it going against the 1-1 teams, but I see a bunch of trends this week, and I think it kind of makes sense where the 0-2 teams, and it happened again last night, are coming through. They get a little bit of value on the number. People are overreacting after a couple week sample size, and they're up against it. They're like, look, man, our season's on the line. We can't go 0-3. Whether they win or not, they fight enough to stay in the game and cover.
It lines up with everything that I've heard and everything the books are going to need. They need dogs. Here's the quote from that story I wrote. It would be nice if any of these dogs win outright. We're stuck on a bunch of moneyline parlays already, and it's not going to stop. Here's looking at you. Cleveland, New Orleans, Tennessee, both New York teams. Don't make me beg, the guy says. On top of this quote. It's not Tony Miller. Here's another quote from that same guy. The next Eagles bet I take will be the first.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Wow. I'm not betting the other side. And I've heard the same thing. Everybody's giving out Rams. Everybody. I get what they're seeing. I'm probably going to be off the game. Are you going to be off the game as far as the side?
Probably.
Okay.
I'd love to lay it with Philly, but now the threes are going back to 3.5, and it's a game that I just want no part of. I think Stafford could pick apart that secondary that I've been very adamant about has issues. We'll see. We have like a minute left in Friday Feels. I'd like to wedge Paul in here for a second if we can. The Fran Brown quote, we didn't talk about this yesterday, about – school's coming in to try and get his players. Here's the quote from Syracuse head coach Fran Brown. I don't care, but don't let me find out, and then I'll see you, because I ain't no bitch. I'm going to come at you like, what's up? I'm going to see you. Paul, how do we feel about Fran Brown?
I'm back in on Syracuse football for the first time in 20 years. Now, like, what's he actually going to do? Drag someone behind dinosaur barbecue and hit him with, like, a T-Rex fossil? Like, I don't know, but I'm in on the attitude. And I mean, look, we had the sprints after the win felt a little high school-y, but something like this, I'm back in. Back in for the Syracuse program. We have a sports program that's alive.
I'm looking at one of his quotes. I didn't know about this. I would have been in on him earlier. He said in a press conference once that he often does not shower after his team loses a game, describing the act as a ritual and further motivation for winning as only winners get washed. No showers if you lose.
No shower happy hour.
No showers.
Winners get washed. I ain't no bitch.
This is Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for hanging out here on Bet Sweats. It's a Football Friday. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich with you. Let's go over some of our college football looks for the weekend. And Sam, it's not one game. It's not a couple of bigger games. It's a handful of games that we need to talk about because we saw line movement, some two key numbers, some pass key numbers, all of it big stuff. But I know there's one move in particular that you want to address first. What you got?
So the Lenora Sellers storyline, to put it in that light, has been really the most important thing for me this week and a lot of guys that I talk to, because we know Sellers was knocked out of the game against Vandy last week. And of course, if you don't know, Lenore Sellers is QB1 at South Carolina. And he was one of the hot names in the offseason about potentially being a Heisman contender or being maybe even the number one overall pick in the draft. Don't think that's going to happen anymore, given some of the play that we've seen and also now this injury that might linger. The initial report was not good, and we saw Missouri this week get out to minus 14 in Vegas. So Mizzou 14. Well, then you started to hear optimism and positive rumors about Sellers. Oh, he's trending in the right direction, which is what all these reporters say now. They don't really give you anything, but things are trending in the right direction, or we're hearing positive things. Okay. So when a wise guy hears that, he just bets. He bets the team that has the positivity. So Mizzou at minus 14 then got bet down. And they came in on Tuesday afternoon and bet South Carolina. Plus 14, plus 13 and a half. Corby talked about it. He was on the show. He bet some 13 and a half. Got all the way down to 11. And then there was another push to get it to 10. All right. Now what? Well, you started to see some people lay Mizzou back at 10. So then the 10 went to 10 and a half, 11, because there are some people that think South Carolina stinks. Even if Sellers plays, they don't care. Well, what happened yesterday, Thursday, big day. Limits are higher, and we get in-depth injury reports, kind of. Well, yesterday, Pete Thamel at ESPN says that Lenora Sellers is probable. Oh, okay. So more money on South Carolina. Got down to 8.5. 8.5. It was 14. Now it's 8.5. And once it touched 8.5, you had these hyenas ready to just blast the favorite back. So at the very bottom of the market, 8.5, that thing lasted about 45 seconds. Immediately hit back to 9.5 and 10. Ooh. So yeah. This game is probably going to close about 10. I like Missouri. I'm in the camp that Missouri is just really good and South Carolina stinks. But that thing got hit from 14 down to 8.5. And once it finally hit 8.5, those Missouri Sharps showed up and just blasted it.
Well, the Canes backers showed up yesterday too. 7.5 to 9.5. And people would say, well, is that the biggest of moves? Maybe not. But, you know, we talked in more so the NFL about how the eights have become popular. Well, you went through the eight. Let's go through the nine all the way to 9.5. We are 9.5 across the board. Miami Hurricanes favored over Florida. And we talked about earlier in the week, wow, this is very interesting because Florida was a 7.5-point dog last week. And they lose the conference game by 10. And how come they're just not coming in on Miami? What is holding them back? Is it still Cristobal? What is the reasoning here? They've given you no reason to doubt them, and they came in on Thursday. They came and bet this team to 9.5. Are we getting to double digits, Miami against Florida?
We could, but it won't last. They'll take 10 for sure okay. on Florida. If it touches 10, the resistance will follow.
All right. Are you betting this game? You make no bones about it. You love this team. You have futures on them.
At 9.5, I'm not interested. No. Yeah. I advocated earlier this week for a parlay, a money line parlay, Miami to win, Oklahoma to win. But now that math has gotten pricier because Miami was 7.5. Now they're 9.5. That parlay was minus 115 on Wednesday. Now it's minus 140. So it's all predicated on price. And I was excited to, you know, lay that minus 115, Miami to win, Oklahoma to win. But now it's 30 cents more expensive at some places. So, no, I'm good. And look, I'm a huge Miami guy, as you know. Bet them against Notre Dame. Bet them against USF. Have them to make the playoff. Beck to win the Heisman. I don't find myself on Miami this week. It's not that I like Florida. Let me be very clear about that. Just not going to bet it. Not going to lay 9.5. And if it comes back down, okay, maybe I grab some more Miami to win, Oklahoma to win. But where the market is now, no thanks.
We wondered why Oklahoma was just sitting there at 6.5. Why aren't we getting to a touchdown? Why aren't we getting to that number? What is holding it back? Does that concern you with Mateer futures? It went to seven. It's seven everywhere. So another Thursday move on a college game that I think is going to be pretty darn popular. Oklahoma blasted to seven. It's one of their big tests. Next week, they do not have a test. They get Kent State. So if they win this one, they're probably going to be sitting 5-0 before the meat grinder that is the SEC schedule sets up. Going up against Auburn, a team that has not been tested. They opened the year with Baylor and then two soft games. Ball State, South Alabama, and now they reached a tough part of their schedule. They've got Oklahoma on the road, Texas A&M on the road. Then they get Georgia. It's not going to be easy for Auburn here. What do you think? Did you hear anything about the Sooners' love, about why this got to seven? Maybe just following the board? What do you think about this move?
Books need Auburn to cover, for sure. Oklahoma is a very popular side. They were at 6.5, and now they definitely are out to 7. But you will see some Auburn bets, I believe. If there's one coach that knows how to prepare for Jackson Arnold, isn't it Brent Venables? Brent Venables, that was his quarterback. And now he's coming back in. You would think if anybody could solve Jackson Arnold, it's Brent Venables. That's literally your job. You're a defensive wizard. You cut your teeth running the defense at Clemson. You would think that Venables could solve Jackson Arnold. You would think. As I just said, Miami to win, Oklahoma to win. That got my money earlier in the week. I know you need a big game from Mateer. I'm pulling for you. Let me throw one at you. Because everybody I ask about this game says the same thing. How can you lay the points? How could you? Texas is laying 39.5 to Sam Houston State. I see you're already laughing, and I understand it. I understand it. Every show that I've heard this week has broken down film about how Arch is bad, and he's a bust, and the footwork's bad, and he can't hit an open target. And I text people, hey, what do you think about Texas? Nope, can't do it. Arch stinks. Nope, never. Never in a million years. How is Sam Houston State going to score against Texas? I know it's a big number, and if you do the box score game, well, Texas hasn't blown anybody out, and Sam Houston State hasn't been really blown out yet. Why is the line 39? Oh, I know, because odds makers tell me the number should be 43. That's how. So I'm going to get there on Texas. I'm going to lay the number. I'm going to lay the wood. If Arch puts up 28 points, I'm out. But when everybody is shorting Texas and saying the same thing, you know me, I'm running the other way. I'm laying it against Sam Houston State.
How many points do you think you're going to need?
52-7 is my final score. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. And that would be much better than anything they've done. It's going to happen where they get back on track. It's just coming off a UTEP game. Yeah, they won. Unimpressive. They blew out San Jose State a couple weeks ago, but they scored 38. Like, that's not going to get it done. Yeah. Right. It's the number has been coming down a little bit. So I get why people are looking at it, and they're facing one of the worst teams in the country, and they've been facing a couple of the worst teams in the country, and it hasn't really mattered.
It's got to happen. It's got to happen eventually where they just club somebody.
Right. Those are going to be fun games coming up. Go to Gainesville, and then you get Oklahoma the following week, of course. Some big games coming. He needs a good game. He needs it. Like, they're not sitting there in Austin and looking past Sam Houston. He's got to get on track right now because we're jumping into SEC action after this. So, yeah, I could see it. All right, Indiana up to 6.5 now.
But wait, but everybody's betting Illinois, I heard. That's what I heard yesterday. Everybody's betting Illinois.
Everybody.
Okay. Everybody. Yeah, where'd the line has moved from 3. Well, X. People on X told me that everybody's betting Illinois. And my response was Indiana's moved from 3.5 to 6.5. How is everybody betting Illinois? Well, look at the bet splits at the Green Book. Stop.
I don't. Those are made up. Stop. I don't care.
Stop.
Okay. Do we have college football? Have we seen anything on the room? I've not. If everybody's betting Illinois,
Yeah.
Well, the sharps have clearly bet Indiana. And I know some of the guys that 100%. Laid the 3.5 and the 4 and the 4.5 to get it out. And then the pile up continued at 6. I don't have a single dollar on the game. I sort of want Illinois to get cracked because the Illinois fans are getting way too chirpy. Way too chirpy. And I went there.
It's a weird spot, man.
I know.
Like, you hate it. You hate it. And they're getting chirpy. You respect the market, too. So, like, you've been against this team. And not saying you don't like them. Not saying that you're rooting against them. Just like, look, I follow them. I know how good they are. Things are headed in a positive direction, but they're not a top 10 team in the country. It's basically been your argument. Yeah.
Period. But then they beat Duke and they beat Western Michigan. Oh, 11-1. Yeah. Nope. Not going to be 11-1.
All right. Let's go over this week 3 NFL card. Sides, totals, props. We cover it all on the other side. Joe O, Sammy P. It is a football Friday. You've got the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.